Well, if you would turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 8 and then verses 22 through 25, we're going to take a look at a boat ride that the disciples went on at God's command, at Christ's command, to cross the lake, and a sudden storm whipped up on the Sea of Galilee, as they often did. The Greek word for the storm that's described here is actually roughly translated hurricane, so something analogous to what we're seeing. Suddenly they were in the midst of in a tiny boat. Well, let's go ahead and go before the Lord. Lord, I pray that as we look at your word this morning, that you would be here with us and that you would guide us, help us to understand it and to apply it in our lives. And we pray all these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Luke chapter 8, and starting with verse 22. Now it happened on a certain day that he got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side of the lake." And they launched out. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, "Master, Master, we are perishing." Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was calm. But he said to them, "Where is your faith?" And they were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, "Who can this be? For he commands even the winds and water, and they obey him." The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. It always strikes me as interesting looking at this section of scripture as I go through it, that Jesus didn't wake up in the storm. I spent a lot of my childhood in small boats, and falling asleep in a small boat for me was difficult. But in the case of rough weather, forget it, I was always completely anxious that the boat might capsize or something like that would happen, especially because I do not come from a boat handling family. We enjoyed going out in them, but seamen or even lakemen, we were not. So to remain asleep in a boat, a small boat like that, you would have to be absolutely certain, absolutely confident that there was no danger whatsoever. And Jesus only wakes up in this story because the disciples go and get him. So Luke tells us that the disciples were frantic, "Master, Master, we're perishing." So Jesus awakes and he rebukes the wind and the raging of the storm. Now, some have looked at this and they've said, well, if he rebuked it, then that must mean that the storm was from the devil, that it was of a demonic origin. So was this all the work of the devil? Well, no. It's God, not the devil, who holds the winds in his hand. And even if the devil was used in sending, it's only because our sovereign God ordained that he should do so. We need to remember, brothers and sisters, in times of disaster, that there is nothing that can befall us that the Lord has not permitted to happen. And so in those times, we need to remember also that nothing will come to pass that will not ultimately work for our good. Sometimes we don't see it. I was thinking on the terrible damage that has been done to the back of my house. Roof ripped off, two rooms utterly destroyed. But then it suddenly occurred to me, those were actually the two rooms that we really needed renovated. So there may be a blessing in disguise even here immediately. But Jesus, in these verses, rebukes the storm because it's yet another evidence of the fall that Jesus came to correct. Think about this. Jesus, in the Gospels, rebukes demons, he rebukes diseases, he rebukes sin, he rebukes disobedience. And what he does is he delivers an admonition to every form of sin and death that our cursed creation encounters, and certainly natural disasters like the one that we're watching unfold around us would fit into that category. At a word from Jesus, though, wind and water are completely calm. Now, you can imagine how freaked out the disciples were at this. I mean, one moment it's Willy Wonka's wild boat ride, and then suddenly they're there. Everything is flat, everything is peaceful. And keep in mind that, you know, you don't normally go from a storm to a mirror calm lake. That doesn't normally happen. What happens is, you know, over time, the wind dies down, the waves, they've been stirred up, though. They continue to rage. But in this case, they immediately obey. This really is an incredible miracle. So all of a sudden, we have these disciples who initially were scared silly because they thought they were going to die, are now terrified because they realize they are in the presence of someone who can command the weather. And that, of course, that act of commanding the weather, well, what was the purpose of that miracle? The storm did not take Jesus by surprise. It was something that happened precisely to show the disciples that just as their master had control over demons and diseases, he had control over the elements as well, absolute control. How could that be? None of the prophets had this kind of control. Well, it could only be because the winds and the wave obey the voice of the one who created them. And so the wind and the wave could no more resist the power, the calming power of Christ, than you could resist his call to come to him by faith. Jesus had already established, you remember, that he had authority over death and demons. Now he's proven absolutely he has authority over all of the things that can affect us in the world. And who can do that but God? This was intended to establish his deity beyond a shadow of a reasonable doubt. Atheists say, well, Jesus never declared that he was God in the Bible. Oh, yes, he did. Again and again he did. I mean, the answer that should have been given by the disciples to one another on asking who can control wind and wave? Well, God alone. That's it. And that's what Jesus was doing. He was showing them who he was. And therefore he asks, where is your faith? Where is your faith in me, is what he is asking. He's saying to the disciples, hadn't I already shown you that I'm the Lord with the miracles that I did? Haven't I already proven it by the way I preached the word? You were with me when I cast out demons. You were with me when I cleansed the leper, when I healed and forgave the paralytic. You saw when I raised the dead. And you've heard sermon after sermon announcing the coming of the kingdom, and yet you're afraid of a mere storm on a lake? Where, after all, is your faith in me? And there's our most important application, and the only one I'm going to make today. Where is your faith in Christ? Many of you, I know, have seen the miraculous work of Jesus, just as the disciples saw the miraculous work of Jesus. Perhaps some of you have seen, I hope, the miraculous work of Jesus in your own life. You yourselves being raised from spiritual death to spiritual life. And yet, how often is it that we ourselves, metaphorically and literally, we see a storm come and then suddenly, you know, as I said, a storm that is either a literal storm like this one or a storm in our life where everything seems to fall apart and we panic like the disciples did on that particular day on the lake. How often have we been afflicted and said to Christ, don't you care? Don't you care that I'm perishing in the midst of all this? The disciples didn't seem to remember that it was Jesus himself who had launched them out into the middle of the lake that day. What about you? Have you forgotten that Jesus, it was he who set you on your way? And that it's Jesus who sends the storms? He's the one who sends the storms to try us, just as he sent the storm to try the faith of the disciples. Why does he do that? Why is it that God would send us storms? Well, the answer is, brothers and sisters, the genuineness of our faith, its depth and its strength is not proven in times of sunshine and happiness. I mean, it's like night and day when you suddenly, you go from the complacent, comfortable way that your life works, the way you like it, everything's working, the power's on, you know, you're not dealing with terrible weather, you have a roof over your head. I now have a new insight on that particular phrase. Everything's going well, and then suddenly everything falls apart. You go from just fine to disaster. And that's the moment when your faith is really tested. That's the moment when your faith in Christ is put to the test. And it'll be proven false or true in the midst of the storm. So when the winds of life blow, the question I'm asking you today is, how do you react to that? Do you despair? Do you grumble against God? Is God an afterthought? When things go wrong, do you immediately say to yourself, I need to muster all of my resources, everything that I can do, I'm going to do. And then only when it proves inadequate and ineffective, then do you turn to the Lord or do you pray first? Do you doubt God's goodness when the storm comes into your life? So many people are, you know, they're generally okay with God. God is helping me out. You know, God is a value added in my life. He's very important. Then suddenly something that you didn't expect happens, something bad. And you suddenly ask, where is God? Why is he not protecting me? Why is he not watching over me? Why is he not making everything in my life perfect as it should be? Well, he is doing all of those things, but he knows that you need that storm in your life. And he wants you to be reminded of how much you need him. Do you go to him then in those moments in prayer? I urge you to do so. Never forget this. In the midst of the storm, we are not alone. Just as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the three, had Jesus with them in the furnace, Christ was yet there with them You remember Nebuchadnezzar looks into the furnace and he says, he saw them intact, fine, and he saw one that was like an angel. Well, we know that was a theophany. That was Christ, the pre-incarnate Christ with his people. And whenever there is a storm in our life, Christ is with you. So therefore, do not grumble against him. Know that these things are happening. Do not go to him and say, don't you care that I'm perishing? But rather, certainly ask for his help. Say you need him. But don't doubt his goodness. Know that he loves you and that he will bring you through all of those storms. So never forget he's there with you. You have a loving master who does not send his disciples out into the storm alone. Rather, you have his precious promise and he will always keep it. That precious promise he made in Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Let's go to him in prayer. God, our Father, we thank you that you are with us in the midst of the storm, that you never leave us nor forsake us, and that whatever happens, whether the flood waters rise or whether they fall, ultimately you will bring good out of it. All of your purposes will be done. Help us then not to grumble against your providence. Help us to cry out to you when we have need of help, but to do so first and foremost, saying that without you, we can do nothing. Help us to do that in the midst of this storm that's happening today. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.